Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Have you ever dreamed of living in a hobbit village, a shire just like from the Lord of the Rings trilogy? Did you then say to yourself, well, that's kind of childish, I'm too old, and it's too late in life to be thinking about such things? Well, remember this quote from the great Gandalf the Grey. A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to. And if you've arrived right now, you've arrived just in time for another edition of Main Street Universe. This week we're talking about Hobbit houses with our guest Elizabeth Gilhawley. Join us in our circle. Welcome to another edition of Main Street Universe. I'm your host, Daniel Michael, and I see our co-host, Brett Hillman, is here. I'll get to Brett in just a second. Janice R. White, our co-host, normally could not make it this evening, but soon she'll be celebrating the second anniversary, her second year of doing the World Reggae Party here in local radio in Fairfax, Virginia. And soon we'll be taking that show and putting it on the Main Street Universe lineup. And briefly, I just want to go over the Main Street Universe lineup here on Blog Talk Radio. Main Street Universe is a network of six shows, starting with this one, which is the flagship show, the one that started it all, the one I started with my friend Kevin Baird, and then Brett came along shortly after, Main Street Universe, the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. We're on 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we talk about a variety of different things, as you heard in the plug for the intro. And that could be issues of nature, issues of future science, issues of spirituality. And we bring many great guests. We've had Christopher Penzack. We've had Selena Fox. We've had Oberon Zell-Ravenheart. We had the expert beekeeper, Gunther Hauk, featured in the movie Queen of the Sun. We've had all sorts of amazing guests that keep surprising me. Amber Kay's been on the show. Anybody remember that little book, True Magic? So keep on listening Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Then on Thursdays, our one daytime show is Ua Tau with Queen Mother Imaku from the Kemetic tradition, discussing the links of the Egyptian-African tradition that is the Kemetic tradition. And some people forget that Egypt is, in fact, in Africa. And don't take it from me. Listen to her show at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Main Street Universe Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Queen Mother Imaku, glad to have her on the network. Then on Fridays, Friday evenings at midnight, is Jessie Ann Nichols-George with Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Jessie is the author of now four books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook, as well as now You, Me, Life, Dreams and its accompanying workbook. It's a great one now about relationships. So Jessie Ann Nichols-George, Fridays at midnight, Activating Compassion. Then on Sundays, we have Darren Bouquer with his show, Spiritual Insight. Now, Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. Darren has been a longtime intuitive consultant and was my first tarot teacher here in Virginia. Then he moved back to New Orleans, where he's working at the world-famous Marie Laveau's as a consultant there, as well as at Reverend Zombies, I think, if he's still there as well. So Sunday, 7 p.m., a very sought-after reader, glad to have him on the show, and a good friend. On Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Kevin Baird and his show, Walking on the Sidewalk. And Kevin is the creator of a series of oracle cards that has now become my primary deck, as well as the traditional tarot, and it's called the Horizon Oracle. Kevin is as well an artist, and he makes these really nice vases and other things. He makes these great wall arts called Frozen Smoke. So that's Kevin Baird, Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Main Street Universe. Kevin can be found as well on www.templeofgaia.com. On Tuesday evenings, we cannot forget that Susan Weed has joined us. And Susan has been with us for about a month and a half now, the master herbalist Susan Weed, and she's been discussing the healing and magical properties of various plants and other things that you eat. In fact, the last 2 weeks, she was talking about the healing properties of butter, believe it or not. I'll give you a hint. One of the things butter is good for is lots of K2, which can be hard to find in other things. So that's Susan Weed in her show Green Magic, Green Medicine, every Tuesday evening for a half hour. So it's a short little show that's meant to be sort of a class, basically, to teach about all different herbs. We're now starting to do roots. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Susan Weed, Green Magic, Green Medicine. And then we have a few rotating shows that are going to come and go. And that right now makes up the network. Right now, on Mondays, we have a rotating once-a-month show called Earthlight Radio with your hostess, Yishitar, who started her own website there, Starseed, International Starseeds, and she's all into all issues of future science and UFOs and things of that nature. So, tonight our guest is Elizabeth Gilholy, and she is involved in a very interesting project, and of course I'll let her explain it more than me, of starting a little village, basically, where all of the houses are designed like these hobbit houses that you see in the movie. Now, before we get to her, I'll get to my co-host real quick. I see him in the queue. Welcome all the way from the fighting city of Livonia, Michigan, Mr. Brett Hellman.
Thank you, and I wanted to mention something, too, before we go too much further. I believe it's our third anniversary is coming up rather swiftly here.
That's true. Janice's second with World Reggae Party, which she does here locally in Fairfax on Public Access Radio, and our third this Halloween, this right around the Samhain time, will be our third year. Wow, I can't even believe it's been 3 years on the air now with Main Street Universe, starting off, of course, as a single show. And then Brett came on board quickly after I met him on another show. I just called in another show, and we met and started talking, and so he joined us. We've had many other hosts, a whole bunch of great guests that I can't even think of all of them now, but we've had some great ones, as well as some interesting people coming in the future, and the one we have tonight, who's someone taking it into her own to live a dream, which I love that kind of thing, and that fits into the theme of Main Street Universe, is stepping out of the mundane, stepping out of what people tell you you can do, and doing what you know is right for you. So enough talking about her. Let's bring her on, and she can talk about her thing. Welcome to Main Street Universe, Miss Elizabeth Gilholy.
Hi there. Oh, my last name is Gilholy. Gilholy, H-O-O-L-E-Y. Anyway.
Oh.
Yes, so I didn't know you had a program with Susan Weed. I'll be listening at Tuesdays at 10 p.m. for that.
Oh, awesome. That's right. She just joined us, and it's been great. And Queen Mother Imaku, too, as well, is a little while back joined us, and she's got an interesting title she holds, I guess, is that she's someone who has, in fact, been a character on a tarot card before.
That's exciting. But, yeah, basically, I lovingly called my project the DC Hobbit House Village Project, because when you do these types of homes, you think of Bilbo Baggins' home in the Shire. It just, that's the mainstream image for it, so it's what I go with. But really, they're low-impact woodland homes that are built in, they could be in trees, they could be partially underground, and they're very energy efficient, and they're built with all natural materials or recycled materials, and they can be built quite inexpensively. So it could also be a new sort of, a new low-income housing paradigm, really. And so that's like the general overview.
And before we get into the detail of the houses, I want to get into the detail of, or some details, of the person behind this, which is yourself and I guess a few others. And I wanted you to describe some of what you do. You mentioned, or I saw on some of your bio, integrated nutrition student and things like that. Maybe you can describe some of what you do.
Yeah, so generally I'm a student health coach with the Institute for Integrated Nutrition. And my goal is to be a general health and wellness coach. And my business is going to be called Gaia Principle Health Coaching. And the Gaia Principle, also called the Gaia Hypothesis, to give the general definition.
I like that.
Yeah, it proposes that organisms interact with their inorganic surroundings on Earth to form a self-regulating complex system that contributes to maintaining the conditions for life on the planet. So when you take that simply, you change yourself, you change the world. So it's all about your perception and how you treat yourself. Like, a lot of the things that people eat, things that they say, the primary foods in their life, meaning not necessarily the foods that you eat, but your relationship, your career, is it fulfilling? Your physical activity and having some form of spiritual practice. So I'm learning to be a health coach to help people integrate that. And this also is, you know, why the low impact, like woodland home living, you know, naturally the type of life that I'm talking about, you know, it seems naturally I would live in a sort of earthen home, in the woods, and, you know, having clean air and such. And so my studies right now, I'm studying the childbirth educator, herbalist, aromatherapist, and the general health coaching and sort of nutrition advisement and such. It's different than a nutritionist. Because a health coach sort of works with different situations and helps people implement healthy lifestyle changes, which, like, I can go into the home, help you sort out your kitchen, like, does it have everything you need? Are you using natural body care products? You know, what are you feeding your pet? Like, general, on and on in that respect. And so that's like that's what I'm going to do as a career. And so I guess thinking naturally is what led me to think more about the home that I live in and what I'm going to purchase. And, you know, that I don't think that life shouldn't have to happen as the result of mountains of debt. I don't want to be under a 400,000 plus mortgage, which is likely what the average person spends in this DC area.
Yes.
You know, so that doesn't feel a freeing, natural life to me, because then you're, in a way, you're in a bound of servitude, because you're you're then forced to make money to feed this debt that you have for this way of life. And, I mean, is it really happiness? My answer to that question was no. So that's what led me, you know, in sort of this all-encompassing, like, all parts of my life.
And, Elizabeth, I wanted to also say it's a great point because I think about these kinds of things all the time. Now, it's also important to note that I don't encourage people to hate money or to have a negative view of it necessarily, but I do think about the value of what we build our lives around all the time. It's something I've questioned since I was a little kid, even debt. There was recently some debts around me in the family a while back, and the talk that people were talking around was so depressing to me, I mean, even outside of the debts, of course, is they were like, oh, he doesn't even have a plot of land. They were talking about where he was supposed to be buried. And I'm like, you've spent your whole life paying for a plot of land you might not ever pay for, and now you're worried about one after you die, and you want to pay for that too? And that just hit me when I heard them all talking about it. You know, they're like, oh, he doesn't even have a plot of land. He has nothing after his death. Come on.
Yes, I mean, certainly I'm not saying that it's evil, and I that's not the point. The point is that you don't have to spend all of this crazy amount of money to be happy, and often people find happiness in simplicity and happiness in no fear of, did I make that payment? You know, if I don't make that, and you don't make the payment, and you don't have a home anymore. I mean, it's the same,
exactly.
It's a different sort of rental situation. Yes, if you continue to make the payment, you'll own the house. But so I wanted to really find a different way that I felt more comfortable with. And, you know, my parents weren't the wealthiest people, but we, you know, and my father actually grew up very poor. He grew up in the he was born in 1933 and grew up in a cold water flat in New Haven, Connecticut, meaning there was no hot running water into the apartment. That's a foreign concept to many people today, but because I was born to older parents, I see this spirit that was one that survived the depression and things like that, and hearing my mother talk lovingly of her grandmother who had her own store that was located in the first level of her house. And, you know, so I guess that for me just set the tone of simplicity. So I didn't really get caught up in more of the, well, sure, if I can have all kinds of things. I can have the fanciest house and can have all these rooms and fancy cars and so on and so forth. But I don't really make the income of like the Rockefellers. So if I could buy it outright with cash, maybe, you know, my tune would be different. But, you know, and it's also more of a point of what you're investing your life force in. What are you investing your money in? And for me, what's important is reconnecting with the earth and spirit around me, you know, and that's how I interpret, you know, this all interconnecting web. But, you know, so it's less about demonizing money and more like, where am I putting my investment? And so it's a natural life. It's a simple, you know, but nice. I mean, yeah.
I get your point. And I wasn't even necessarily saying, oh, you know, you're demonizing money. I'm at peace with that. And but I completely understand, because those are things I think about all the time, of what actually is a happy life, what is a healthy relationship with what money is to equate that happy life. I think about those things. I mean, they're on my mind all the time, because I look around. And it's funny you mentioned the store in the house, because I remember the first time I was just doing it out of a curiosity, and I was asking, because I had a friend who was opening like a hippie shop, and I was going to maybe, this is years ago, and I was going to maybe help him, And I'm like, well, we should just, you know, just crash here, live here. And it's like, oh, you can't because of, like, zoning and stuff like this. Like, you're not supposed to crash upstairs. And I remember thinking, so you got to pay for a place and a business? I'm like, you know what I mean? I just remember always being disappointed by these things about coming in and telling you what you can do and this is right and that's wrong and all of it having to do with money and bad laws. Like, why can't somebody crash it? In a little room upstairs in the store they're running. So it's funny that you said that was once a dream of mine that got poo-pooed on once.
Yeah, that times are, I suppose they were different then than they are now, but we can reinvent ourselves, and that's me reinventing that life in the present, you know. And if that means I have to go out into the forest, you know, to do this, then, you know, and it's also better, less traffic and pollution.
That's right, and I don't want to give away necessarily where you live, but we're both in a similar area. I'm in Northern Virginia, and we know all about traffic around here, for sure.
Yeah.
Now,
oh, yeah.
So I guess you've drifted a bit into question two, but let's just now make it very specific. I got a series of questions here, and I want it to be very specific, like no one has any idea who you and I are. Describe your vision. What is this thing you're trying to create? Is it individually owned homes? Because some people might be like, is she starting a commune, or is it just individuals buying homes? What is this Hobbit Village? What is this thing you're creating here?
So, essentially, think of a condo community. Think of a condo community. And there's just a bunch of different dwellings that are in a little development together. Well, all I'm doing is taking the idea of building these low-impact woodland homes and building them in a development together. And it would be, you know, it's just not going to be downtown because our atmosphere is going to, you know, call to something more rural because people are looking for trees and forest around them. And so so it's building the low-impact woodland home, you know, which I was, which may drive into another question, but Simon Dale is a builder of this town, home in a similar development called Llanas Eco Village in Wales. And, you know, it's just, they just built a series of houses like these, you know, and it can, certainly the community can have like a community center, you know, where people can have shared meals or have, you know, meetings or other things. But, you know, so it could be something still very similar, but just a different take on the, you know, sort of condo community. And there is also something in this area called co-housing. And co-housing communities are essentially what I've described. And the difference between the standard apartment or condo community and the co-housing, and similarly to what I want to create, is it's a community where people interact and know one another. There wouldn't be, like, I rent my house out and nobody has any interconnection with that person. You know, or someone rents there and just nobody, you know, you kind of just go about your own business. It's more interconnected than that, where, you know, it gets people who have probably, I mean, well, if you're moving into an arrangement like this, chances are this is your purposeful life, and people who are living around you share that vision. So you share a common interest. It's not a group of random people. So it does a number of things. It provides a sort of condo-like community for people who share common interests and who can, you know, interact with one another and, you know, have shared meals and such. However, it is, as in some other intentional communities, there could be any variety of things that the community decides upon, like income sharing and so on and so forth. Ours would be totally independent income, basically there'd be, say, a group of 50 people to start that would buy a piece of land collectively together and then begin to build their own houses on it. So the only collective purchase is going to be buying the land together. And then after that point, it's your responsibility independently to build your house in what shape that may look like. Because if you search the web, there are many, many, many different types of woodland homes, tree houses, you know, partially underground, you know, variety that people can build. So this would just provide the place for people to build something like that and to not feel isolated, because there's not many of these communities, even though people, there's clearly an interest and a love of this idea. It's just organizing the people together to say, we want to create a village. So, you know, I'd prefer not to be a lone hobbit house out in the woods with nobody around me, because, I don't know, it's just me. I'm an extrovert. I like people. If you're an introvert, you may want your cabin as far away from anybody else as you can have it, you know. But so this is meant to create a community of the people who like this idea. And, as I mentioned, create it in a new low-income housing paradigm, as one person told me, you know, it could be phrased. So it's the affordable but quaint woodland living.
And I agree with you on the extrovert part. It's like it's kind of trying or doing. Don't want to use the word try too much, right? But it's combining the best of both worlds in a way of you're still around people, but they're people that will often be of like mind. And I do want to say that I know people, some of the people, at least from a distance from the group. So I don't want anyone to get wrong ideas when you start saying things like plant communities. These are a very diverse group of people already in their small number. They're people from all different backgrounds and all different ethnicities. And it's an interesting combination of folks. Some of them I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like combining the experience of nature, but also still having a little bit of community going on. And, of course, you all have certain things in common because you all came to this and came to this vision and came to this project, which will draw a certain type of person, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's just natural. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Also, I would note for the sort of maybe environmentally concerned people also, like if you're, you know, into green building methods, it doesn't get any more green than this. You
mm-hmm.
know, you could use straw bale cob. That's going to be the type of building material used. And when it's done, I would say it appears like stucco. It's kind of I wouldn't say it may be hard as concrete by the time it's done, because they're very sturdy. But yeah, it's just made of natural or recycled materials. You know, so this is more of a embracing natural earth and green building model. You know, and less of this, people might say, some hippie commune. It's more of a sense of, yeah, the green building model.
Right. And I did want to get, since we're there and we're coming really close and we're just about to a half hour, I think the people that have been listening and that will listen in the future in the magical time machine that is the archive listen that can be listened to anytime, very accessible. One of the things I like about this particular station is very accessible to get to one of the shows once you send it. We talked about some of the materials. We talked about different aspects. How much, and this is what I love about these, what is the starting price for one of these hobbit houses?
Well, it varies on how small you want your house. Some of them are small. There is a woman that I took the guidance of who actually builds these houses for a living. The business is called Build Naturally, and the principal is Katie Coco. And so I sat down to talk with her about what does it cost to build these sort of things. And she said it would be $75 a square foot plus. So based on the floor plan of Simon Dale's home, which she said might be approximately 700 square feet, and it may seem small, but it when you talk about upper level and lower level, it really is quite spacious. And so that approximately, he built his for about $10,000. And so, of course, as DG noted to me, depending on what type of materials that you use and also other costs of building, if you hire someone else to build it, you know, you could end up paying as much as, you know, much as a ready-made house. So
right. It's
a lot of purchasing your materials wisely and having your fellow community to help you. So that's what collectively in the village is my vision to help people help each other build the houses. And factors like several houses being built together and hiring one electrician and plumber to do the work that requires licensure to certify that it's, you know, it's safe. And by having that one party do a series of houses at the same time, it drives down the cost for everybody. So, you know, but it could, you could, if you planned well, pay $10,000 for this house and have a, you know, have a nice house, because you can see Simon Dale's house is viewable at simondale.net.
Yeah.
And it's very nice. So
absolutely,
it doesn't take, once you learn the core principle of the Strawdale Cobb building and you have a licensed contractor to help you with the electrical and plumbing, that's essentially it. So
and
yes, it'll have plumbing. It'll have modern plumbing. They can have although what I would advise in there to keep with the green idea and to avoid having worry about septic systems is to have a compost toilet. And if you want to see a compost toilet here locally in Northern Virginia, go to the Loudoun County Eco Village. And this is very eco-luxury living. It's about, last I priced it years ago, was $90,000 for a third of an acre with nothing on it, just for the land. And so the houses, they're outfitted with all the best. And you can go do a tour there, and they will show you in the pilot house, the first house built, that there's a compost toilet, and it works wonderfully. There's no smell. It's like, it works great. So that's probably, you know, using what little green technology in the houses that we can use, you know, to certainly add to that.
Absolutely. And I was in, it was a place, I won't divulge it now, I've kind of forgotten it. Speaking of which, I am an electrician, and I was in a place, it was kind of out in the country in Pennsylvania, and it was a series of houses, really nice, and they did have the compost toilets, and it's, like you said, they weren't, like, disgusting, like being in the old construction site outhouse or something.
No.
They were nice and modern, and they felt like they were in clean, and just to let, you know, people know that some of these things have definitely progressed. And I love the price, that if you do a little homework and do a little research, you can get a pretty incredible, unique place to live for $10,000. And, of course, there are things, just like owning any home, that you might tweak and all of that. But it's still, for a starting price, that's pretty amazing. And that's also taking it outside of the realm of something crazy and elite, like getting that sports car that runs off the LED batteries, that's $100,000, you know. It's a accessible green technology for regular people, you know, for regular folks making you know, money that's not what some people associate with green technologies. They sometimes think, oh, okay, you've got the windmill station, right? So you've got a ton of money there and the generators and everything else. So this is very accessible, very affordable, and I think that will turn a lot of people on to this idea. Now, you answered another question I had for you. Maybe since we have some new people tuning into the chat room, let's just review it. Did you intend on building some sort of a community center for this village, like a gathering area, park, entertainment center, something that kind of, I guess, ties it together?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I would love to be able, you know, of course, where people can have shared meals together periodically and also use that space for teaching. If some people are herbalists and they want to teach things, or and this would be an add-on to that, that there could be some additional houses built that were, say, vacation rentals or guest houses. So, say, theoretically, as a health coach, I could do some workshops on making your own body care products from items that you can grow or something like that. And so I could have, you know, I could teach things at the community center, and other people could use it for various reasons, art shows, musical performances, you know, so on and so forth. And there should be, depending on the location that we get for it, which there's some options for land in West Virginia, for example, that I looked at one plot that was about almost 100 acres, and it was $500,000 for 100 acres. So that, broken up among 50 people, you know, it makes the land also affordable. Of course, yes, factoring into the cost, the $10,000 plus would be for building of the house itself, and then the land, you know, that's the big question, depending on where it's located. But with the extra land around there, certainly if people want to come, you know, come visit, there could be room for camping if there weren't guest houses for people to stay in. It will be, I envision, once this comes up and is erected and in place, as a place that people can come visit and learn and spread the idea that, you know, I think there's a lot of people now maybe that are becoming disenchanted by this idea of debt and the houses and, you know, and want to maybe have something that's more affordable and do something else with their other money, travel, you know, indulge in other things that they love to do and not just invest all of their money in their dwelling.
So into where they sleep.
Really nice. Yeah, where you sleep. But, you know, it's something, obviously, the home is very meaningful, you know, at the center of where you know, your life and your family, and, you know, it's very important. And, you know, so that's why it's just being mindful of that space that you create and the energy that's used to create that. So if you're always worried about debt and how much money you paid and, you know, then it sort of detracts from that healthy home environment and, you know, maybe doesn't exactly create the environment that you want. So just thinking about these things. And so the community center, you know, would be a place, you know, hopefully coupled with guest houses where people can come visit, you know, as a real place where people can learn about this sort of living and all the interesting people that I'm sure will inhabit this village.
Yeah. And Elizabeth, first of all, I'd like to say I apologize for mispronouncing your name earlier.
That's okay.
Second of all, we've gone we're a little past the half hour, and we'll come right back. We're just taking a brief break and take a breath and all that sort of thing. And basically, we're going to play a song here. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll really focus on, this is very real world, you're really doing this, what's the progress, you know, we'll focus on those sorts of things, and how people listening, and that will listen to the archives, can get involved and maybe be a part of it, or maybe just help and donate or something like that. So we'll talk about some structure and real-world stuff like that when we come back after this break. And this song, After the Plug, first is a plug by my friend Nathan, and the song is from a band who recently played at the Tally Ho Theater, good friends of mine, Woven Green. We'll be back in just a moment.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
And those were my good friends, Jim and Ashley Cash from Woven Green, who just came back from an amazing gig recently at the Tally Ho Theater. And I wish them well. They're kind of an upcoming band around here. And maybe we'll have a guest spot on my album that I'm working on. I'm a musician, for those of you out there listening that don't know. And I'm working on my new album called Songs of the New Old Ways. And in fact, today I was practicing with the Ellen Pipe player. So my band has a bagpipe player, and yours maybe does not. Just playing. But it was really cool to be playing with someone who's learning an instrument that not a whole lot of people play. They're like little indoor bagpipes. And we may be bringing fiddle and flute players along as well. But our guest this evening is talking about hobbit houses, and she's starting a hobbit house village of her own and of all those that join her in this adventure. And I think it's a fascinating story, and I'm glad to see someone reaching inside and wanting to change their reality. As I've always liked the saying, that human beings are endogenous beings. They're indigenous and endogenous. They can be indigenous, but they can also be those that create and change the world around them by changing themselves. But Elizabeth, are you there? I think
yes.
Your mic is on. I wanted to now move on and say, let's talk for as much as you can anyway, because I know these things are not easy. some time frames, numbers, reality, all that sort of stuff. So basically, I'll start with saying, how many people do you think will sign up for this project? Or is there an ideal number? You don't have to say how many have, but maybe what are you looking for? I think you breezed upon it earlier, but what kind of number are you looking for to get it rolling, just to make it happen?
So I will be confident with the land purchase or to move forward with that when we have a group of 50 committed people to purchase the land, because I think that, or at least thereabouts. Because
okay.
I'm looking for this to be an affordable land purchase. So, you know, $500,000 for 100 acres may be inexpensive, but it's expensive when it's, when it's just me.
Right, of course.
So, you know, yeah, that's the target figure. And we're starting to network more and connect. We have our project listed through IC.org, which is Intentional Communities, online, and I got some contact with people from there who, you know, it's a place where people go to search to find something unique and a unique sort of community. So so we have, in our Facebook collective, we have over 100 people, but right now, so the partner that's my friend Patrick Quinn, who's working with me to, he's going to be working with me to help organize everybody, and he's really dedicated to this idea and has the same vision that I do, so he really is going to provide a lot of help to me for this, you know, move this forward. So we're making contact now with everybody in the Facebook group and beginning to get a more clear picture of what their intentions are so that we can begin to form groups of people, like subcommittees, in order to see who can help with what. And Patrick and I will be going to a workshop by Build Naturally, which I mentioned. I met this woman named CG Coco, who has this business called Build Naturally, and they have been building these low-impact woodland homes, like hobbit houses, professionally for some time. And so she'll teach people how to build straw bale cob house structure and other various components. So we're going to be doing that. She's offering that workshop the beginning of November. And anybody can go and join. I think it's about $100, and you can, you know, learn everything there. At least to get you started. So to get that 50 people, my intention is, because I'm going to send the intention out to the universe, that within 5 years, this will come to fruition. So it's just a matter of targeted marketing. I know that people are out there that are just like me who love this idea. It's just a matter of connecting with them. So I'm going to use all the channels that I can in order to connect with all of you out there who also love this idea and would love to be a part of it, which would be great. I'd love to have you.
And you've actually, that was going to be another question. I'm glad you answered it already, because I was going to say, okay, is there specialty contractors? You know, who would somebody, even outside of your thing, like you said, maybe it's the loner that wants one of these in the woods, one of these types of houses, the specialty contractor that maybe would make something like this, and their name was again?
This is, the business is called Build Naturally, and you can find them easily on the web, and the lady behind that business is CG Coco, S-I-G-I-K-O-K-O. Very interesting name. But, yeah, she's very nice, and she'll talk to you. She was happy to meet with me. And so there's a number of different businesses out there that help people learn how to build straw bale cob houses. There's a variety of, you know, building techniques. Simon Dale's house, you can view his pictures of his house at simondale.net. And his is sort of a roundhouse. And that roundhouse structure has a technique in and of itself. CG said that that was more challenging to build, but where there's a will, there's a way. Simon built it, so you could build it too if that's what you want. It's just a matter of learning the technique.
And it's funny, in a slightly different direction, the futurist Jack Fresco, not going too far in that direction, but is a huge fan of houses being round. You know, he's an architect and is involved in creating a little city of his own down in Florida. And his houses, of course, they look very modern, but they're round in their nature. And a lot of people say, and a lot of architects say, it's very substantial, it's very solid, it's, you know, a hurricane comes by, down, all that sort of thing. So the round.
Yeah, these structures, especially, well, Simondale's house is also partially underground, they're very stable and they're very energy efficient. They keep it cool in the summer and keep it warm in the winter. There'll be like a little stove, you know, I mean, you could design it. And there's a number of possibilities as to how you can design it.
Oh, I was saying it could be geothermal, lots of options, you know, depending on the place.
Yeah, there's many options out there. And even in the trees, you know, so a tree house. And people do live that way. I have a friend who's in the process of building a house in Costa Rica, in a tree house community. And that's going to be, she's going to use it as a vacation rental. But it's people live there in that treehouse community year-round. And when you live in Costa Rica, you have the climate to support, you know, because it's sort of an open design. But so obviously ours in this area, if you wanted a treehouse, it would be a different design to accommodate the winter. But maybe you'd only stay in it in the summer, you know. So there's different, I mean, if somebody has the extra, you know, extra money to throw around and you just want this to be a summer home, then, you know, if you're only going to be there in the summer, then you don't have to worry about things like heating in the, you know, in the winter and such. Of course, once again, the different building techniques, tree houses will cost more money because you need to have people specially trained with special equipment to work up in the trees, you know, so I'm going for something on the ground, and so I'm looking to spend, I mean, given if I can't do all of the work myself or I can't have all the community help me, then I'm looking at spending a little bit more, probably around, you know, $30,000, which is, I mean, still, it's a far cry from any house that you could buy around here.
Oh, yeah.
$30,000 house around here would probably be in very unlivable condition.
It's a car around here, not a house.
A car, yeah. There would be a car. But, so, so yeah, well, there's the, you just do a little research and you can see what options are out there and it'll give you an idea. And, of course, you can call CG of Build Naturally and ask, you know, see what she thinks and maybe what workshops she has to offer so you can learn about this sort of building technique.
All right. And I would also like for you to share very specifically for your project, where is the best place for people to go to find out about your project? Because some of my listeners will be local, some will be literally international. We have Veronica. Hello, Veronica, over from the UK. I see her in the chat room. And I see Brett put up one of the links you mentioned. Thank you, Brett, for that. Where would people go specifically for your project right now?
If you're on Facebook, brilliant. That's the best way to connect with us. Just search for Washington, D.C. Habit House Village Project, and it'll pop right up, and I will approve your membership request. If you don't use Facebook, we're working, my assistant and I, Patrick, are working on another avenue for people to connect, like having a web page and an email, a dedicated email address for this project. That's coming soon. But you can also get some more information from ic.org, just ic.org, and search Washington, D.C. Hobbit House Village Project, and we also have some information on there. That the Facebook group is really where you're going to get more interaction with other people that are interested in this idea, and that's primarily where currently where I'm posting updated information about this. And so that would be the best way to contact me. We're building from there. It's really Patrick and I have been putting more effort. Patrick recently got married, and I started school. So we're trying to structure our time to give as much to this as we can presently. Right now we're starting with a Facebook group. So I apologize to anybody, unfortunately, who doesn't use Facebook, but you can also find our contact information through ic.org and just search for Washington, D.C. Hobbit House Village Project.
Okay. And it's interesting because it's funny, these last 2 weeks, our guest last week was Selena Fox. And though her project was different that she started, if you're familiar with Selena, she started Circle Sanctuary up in Wisconsin, which is a nature reserve, and as well as a place where she stays up there. Not exactly the same thing like a neighborhood, but it was something where she raised money and bought it to basically change her life and the world around her and to have a place of sort of earth-based, spirituality. And she throws the big, festivals and PSG and all these sort of things. So it's one theme in our show is we really appreciate when people, at whatever level they are, right now you're at the beginnings of it, but it sounds like you're making some progress, and it sounds like something realistic, especially, I think, because of the affordable nature of the homes. You can get people of like mind to perhaps say, you know what, maybe I can do this. Let me see what I can do here. And that's definitely part of the spirit of the Main Street Universe Radio Network, because our saying, our motto, is that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. So we always want to tell people that it's not really that far away. You just got to keep working for it and fighting for it. And I appreciate your energy, and I appreciate running into someone who's a dreamer and an optimist like me and willing to work hard to make something happen.
Yep, nothing in life happens without the work put into it to make it happen. So I think everybody can join me, if you're interested, and this will be a reality.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing, like you said, intention. Well, if you make an intention, if you want something in the universe to work for you, some people forget the as above, so below, as within, so without. Some people forget to do the without stuff. you still got to do stuff out in the real world, to make these intentions form. Like there's an old saying I remember that you have to, I don't remember where it comes from, but it's something about you have to keep working so that luck knows where to find you when it shows up. You have to keep doing the thing in the without, in the real world, in the mundane world, really.
Yeah, and really, when you really boil it down, it's not a fanciful idea. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. The building is not that difficult. And, so it's just connecting with other people and making it happen. That's as simple as it is.
And we're kind of coming down to it, but before you go, and it's okay if we go a little bit over, at least for me, if you had just a few minutes. I was curious if you would like a reading.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And let me reach over to my box here, pull out the cards. Now, I'm going to imagine that we'll stay with the theme of the show. And I guess we'll just say, or unless you have a specific question other than that, which is perfectly fine, I was going to say anything, any message from the universe that Elizabeth should perhaps know right now for this project to become a reality.
That sounds good.
All right. Now, what I'm going to do, if you can hear me here, I'm shuffling the cards and tell me when to stop. Whoop, that one popped out at me. Go ahead. Shuffling.
Okay.
All right. Now, one popped out while I was shuffling, and in my roles, I go with that. That's like the cards screaming at you.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. This is actually kind of interesting. The first card, now I'm not reading, even though I do, but I'm not reading from the traditional tarot tonight. This is the cards near me were the Horizon Oracle, the ones a friend of mine actually created and gave to me. The first one is probably one that you completely relate to often trying to do this project, and it's the Levy card. Basically, to describe it very briefly, this is a feeling of being completely stuck sometimes and not moving forward as fast as you would like while in a situation. Or while you're pursuing something. The card after that, and it's associated with the time 718, it's called the Obsessions card. This one's in reverse, by the way. This also has similar rules for reverse and, you know, upside down or right side up. And this is telling me almost as if someone around you, perhaps involving this project or near it, feels as if they are, it's like they're having a bad self-esteem or something. It's like a, it's like when someone is feeling like, oh gosh, I don't know if I can do this. I feel like I've failed or I've failed you in some way. I'm not even sure if they're expressing it, but perhaps there's someone in your circle that maybe is lacking confidence.
I feel that's a general, like for the group, I feel that that's what holds back all the individual counterparts, because as I communicate with people individually as part of the project, the first thing that they express is like that sort of inhibiting fear that it, you know, it's exactly what the card expressed. To me, that's like the counterparts, the other people that I'm trying to reach out to that are like, oh, I don't know this, I don't know that. So I think it's my job as like the leader, the organizer, I would say,
mm-hmm.
to provide people with more information, you know, financing options, to break it down a little bit more. So that's what I've been trying to do for everyone, gradually.
And so, yeah, I think it plays into this, because the first one is you feeling stuck, which I'm sure that happens to you all the time. So literally the picture on this card is someone who's in a crater of water in the middle of the desert trying to paddle a boat somewhere, and they're panicking and going, why am I stuck? So it's like they can fall into the feeling of not going anywhere. However, I guess the lesson of the card is if they get out of the boat and get out of the old problems and realize that maybe it's time to not try the boat but try walking, that they won't be as stuck, so don't panic.
Oh, yeah, certainly I realize it's the tortoise. It's the slow and steady will win this race. Keeping at it and yeah, just connecting. I need to convince my flock that, you know, together, that we can all work together. So
what I'll do now is I'll do like a follow-up resolution, like of just two cards of like, okay,
mm-hmm.
now what's the future holding in the near future for this? There's four piles here. This will involve your energy a bit. Pick from pile 1, 2, 3, or 4.
3.
Okay. 1, 2, or 4?
2.
Okay. Again, there's issues with other people. I'm even getting one. I usually don't like to mention certain things. But one is actually in a way of someone is having like a medical issue. Sometimes something around you, I'm not saying you necessarily, I mean someone around you. I think this is like with the Ascension card reversed. I think there's someone wondering if they have the health to go through with this or to help with this kind of thing. So it's another thing of an issue, this time not an insecurity. This is more of a someone maybe going through something that's maybe even a medical issue or something that maybe limits them in some way. And the next one is called the, this one's actually called the Curb card, and it's kind of exactly how it sounds. What I mean by that is, and it's this plays into what you said earlier. If this card is upright, it's in the reverse. If it's upright, it means you making room and clearing out your baggage, kicking stuff to the curb. Just like if it was like a love question, it'd be, you know, kick the guy to the curb, whatever, he's no good. But in this case, I think it's playing into your last message you mentioned of you helping people clear out the things and clear out the doubts. Just take all of that and put it to the curb. Move all that material, take it out, you know, clear out the garage and walk it out the curb. So it seems like there's still, it wasn't giving me like a definite kind of sexy, great, awesome answer. It just seems like this is very blue collar kind of reading of you working with keeping people believing. Maybe someone having some medical issues or something that they feel is limiting as well as part of it, but getting over their insecurities, their obsessions, what they think are their weaknesses is actually what I'm getting more from that, even to this card sometimes. Though it's called the lens card.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I feel like
you getting people over what they think are their limitations. So this is, to me, kind of a reading that's just a reminder for you to continue to be inspiring as a result. And I just picked two more at random. And, wow, this really plays into what we're talking about. And this deck has 111 cards. It actually is quite a bit more than the tarot. One is inspiring. The card is the coast. And that card literally means seeing the line between heaven and earth. You're trying to convince people that this can happen. And the next one is the posing card, which is quite literally, to shorten the meaning of the card without too much explanation, is a little bit fake it till you make it. That's what the creator of this deck calls that card. So that seems to be the message of you keeping faith and everything looks positive, but a lot of work of you convincing all those around you that this is going to and can happen.
Yeah, when I heard the medical card, I was thinking it's more of people feel physically they can't do this.
Right.
Which just means needing to learn how to build these things and demystifying it, and that it's not that hard and it's not that scary and you can actually do it. If you can mix together a bunch of things and, like, play with Play-Doh, you can do this, I guess, in terms of the straw bale cob construction. But you have help. People have help for the hard things, the electrical and plumbing. You have help for those things. It's just getting your structure planned. And it's fun to build your own house.
Absolutely, especially something.
So I think that's right. Getting over physical restrictions, like physical, mental, letting all that go, and indulging that this is an exciting project.
And yeah, again, I just picked up a few more cards as you were talking. They're all kind of just saying the same thing. It's funny, what you do them in combinations in this deck, you know, I'm not a strict follower of spreads per se, but with this deck, I usually do two cards at a time. It's like they call it a companion spread. And each one is kind of playing into a very similar message about, it's like you're just pushing. It's like very blue collar. It's like get back to work, keep inspiring, keep pushing, keep convincing people. It's a lot about convincing people and selling yourself. Even the one is quite literally the fake it till you make it is what the creator of the deck called that card. And you just keep doing it, and eventually they come around to see it. But it's definitely a pretty simple reading in that way, just saying, hey, you know, keep the faith, keep doing it, keep pushing, and eventually they'll come around. And keep your focus.
That's my thing.
The last card was a card called the pressing card, and that card is quite literally somebody writing down on a piece of paper, meaning like when they say, you know, to write down your goals. So it's all about focus and keeping others focused. You're definitely kind of in a leadership position here, maybe incorporating some skills you didn't realize you had to incorporate. But I don't see it as negative at all. I just see it as just a lot of work and a lot of you keeping the troops motivated and keeping everybody believing, you know, and realizing that it can happen, and it's what they in themselves want.
Mm-hmm.
And the very last card I got on this that I didn't say as I was just putting them away was, as well, there's one final thing outside of the blue collar here, and at least according to this, it's called the fly card, and that is a card about paying attention to your dreams. This means start to do, to me, this is what I'm feeling this means. This means start to do meditative practices more and do whatever you can to start encouraging lucid dreams or messages in dreams more, or that might just come to you anyway. I'm a pretty powerful dreamer. When I go to sleep, it's like movies, you know, all night. Doesn't mean I'm always getting a great, inspiring message, but I'm just saying that it is saying to pay attention to your dreams. So, like, a message might come through a dream. I've actually had that for a song before, where a melody came in a dream, and I woke up and tried to remember it and write a song from it. So pay attention to, like, some kind of message in your dream might come to help you with everything. That was the last card I got. It could just
that
be a simple, inspired idea that makes you go, oh, I wasn't doing that. You know, it could be something that you just simple, you know, I'm not clear on the exact nature of it, but I'm definitely getting this powerful feeling that something in the near future, some sort of help or message will come to you by paying attention to messages in your dreams, which can be difficult sometimes. It can be tricky to know what you're going to remember from one dream to the next. As you know, it can be a crazy world.
I totally remember a bit of my dream.
So, like you said, inspiring those around you, and then, of course, the other side, I guess the more ethereal side of the reading being something might come to you in a dream and in sometime in the near future. In fact, I'll go ahead and do a quick timing one for that. Within the next 3 weeks, I think, maybe an interesting message comes to you in a dream.
That's great. I'll be paying attention. I used to keep a dream journal. Maybe I'll do that again.
In fact, the pressing card is about writing things down, and then I had a dream card, so that's perfect. That's a dream journal. I think that'd be a great idea.
All right.
In fact, I should start doing that again.
Yeah,
anyway,
really,
thank you very much.
It's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for being on Main Street Universe this evening.
Wonderful, yes. Thank you all for listening.
And one last time, to contact you would be on your Facebook group, right, which would be?
Search Facebook, Washington, D.C., Hobbit House Village Project. If you're not on Facebook, you can also go to ic.org, that's the letter I, the letter C like cat, .org, and search for D.C. Hobbit House Village Project, and you can get contact information and more info there.
Okay. And also feel free to contact me in private if you have questions. I mean, I would love to be part of this. I'm rebuilding, and we can talk about those things later. I've even thought about connecting those groups to be a contractor. I do construction, so I'd like to learn the art of building some of these things. I am an electrician by trade and do it for myself.
Oh, wonderful. We can use you. We can definitely use you. Don't go anywhere.
And if anybody needs a reading while I'm there, I guess I can maybe do that too.
Yes, always needed to keep people inspired.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. It's been Elizabeth Gilhooly. I said it wrong earlier, but it's Gilhooly. And Hobbit Houses, folks, living in the Shire, living in a hobbit village. Brett, if you're there, thank you for joining us this evening. I know you didn't get a chance to say too much. But anyway, folks, you've been listening to Main Street Universe, the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. And I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot. And maybe we can all live in a hobbit village together. Thank you all, and have a great evening.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.